In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we'll be looking at that ancient story of Samuel the boy that ministered unto Jehovah. Now, this is found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 10, and then some other text further down into that chapter as we proceed. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of December the 12th, 1926. And so we begin. We see in the first verse of 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1 that the child Samuel ministered unto Jehovah before Eli. Now, to minister means to serve. And Samuel performed such service in the tabernacle under Eli's direction as he was able. And the word of Jehovah was precious in those days. There was no frequent vision. The word was precious or rare, as there was no frequent or widespread vision, because there was no accredited prophet to whom all could go and be taught. And there were, therefore, few revelations from God. The revelations were few, because none desired the work of a prophet, and few sought the truth. Yet there were some then, as there have always been, who loved the truth and the right. Now, Eli was old, and his eyes had begun to wax dim, and the young Samuel was faithful to him, ready at any time, day or night, to render him any service. And this speaks well for Samuel. Eli slept in some apartment of the tabernacle, and Samuel slept near him in the temple of Jehovah, where the ark of God was. One night, after Eli and Samuel had retired, and before daylight, for the lamp of God had not yet gone out, God called Samuel, and he said, "Here am I." Samuel thought Eli had called him, and he answered at once in dutifulness. He arose and ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." By the expression, "Here am I," he meant his readiness to do Eli's will. Eli said he had not called Samuel, and sent him back to bed. And he went and lay down. The Lord called him a second time, and again he went to Eli, ready to do his will. And again Eli said, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know Jehovah. He knew Jehovah as the only true God who should be served and honored. But he did not know God in the capacity of a prophet. Neither was the word of Jehovah yet revealed unto him. In this sense, he did not know God. Some have guessed Samuel to be only 12 years old at this time, but the Bible does not state his age, yet it says he was a child. Jehovah called Samuel again the third time, and again the third time he went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." It has been suggested by some that Eli's chamber was between Samuel's chamber and the most holy place where the ark was, and whence God called Samuel. Therefore Samuel thought the voice came from Eli when it came from beyond Eli. But this is only conjecture. Eli did not hear his voice which spoke to Samuel, but now perceived that Jehovah had called the child. Eli was humble and gentle, not envious and jealous. He made no complaint that God should pass by him and revealed himself now to a child. In this respect, Eli was loyal to God and desired his will to be done. So he said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, 'Speak, Jehovah, for thy servant heareth.'" Samuel did as Eli directed. Thus Eli taught Samuel submission to the will of God. And Jehovah came and stood, that is, presented himself before Samuel in a vision. God may have presented himself through the angel of his presence, as he did unto Moses and unto Gideon again. And the fourth time, God spoke to him in an audible voice. This time God called him twice. God does not speak in an audible voice from heaven to individuals now. This call of Samuel should not be perverted so as to lead children and grown people to believe that in some secret, mysterious way or by a voice direct from heaven they are called of God. Paul states how people are now called. Whereunto he called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. Well, Samuel was told to say, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And Samuel did as Eli directed. He said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And this Samuel declares himself a servant of God, ready to do his will. This has ever been the one course pursued by God's servants. Abraham, Moses, and Elijah each said, "Here am I." When Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus, he said in submission, "What shall I do, Lord?" Samuel and Saul both meant to do anything and everything God should say. This is the only way to obey God. We must now just as completely surrender to his will. Saul went into Damascus in obedience to God, and there, trusting in Jesus, penitent, and praying, he awaited further instruction. When Ananias told him to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord, he did it at once and continued to do all that God commanded. It is useless to say, "Speak, for thy servant heareth," if one does not mean, as Samuel, to do just as God directs. One does not hear God unless one implicitly obeys him. God calls children now through his word to obey their parents in the Lord, to make themselves useful at home, and to further obey his will as they grow older and realize more and more their duties to him. Well, there was bad news for Eli, which caused both ears to tingle. This news would be so horrible and terrible that, like a sharp, discordant, and painful sounds, it would cause the ears to tingle. This expression is also used in foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem in 2 Kings 21:12 and in Jeremiah 19 in verse 3. This terrible thing was the destruction of Eli, of his sons and house, and of Shiloh. From the beginning even into the end means that God would make through the work of this destruction. "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons did bring a curse upon themselves, and he restrained them not." God told Eli this in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 27 through 36. Eli was to blame for not restraining his wicked sons. This judgment, as recorded in 1 Samuel 4, was the death of Eli's sons, the capture of the ark of God by the Philistines, and the destruction of Shiloh as a religious center or place of worship. In after years, referring to the destruction of Shiloh, God says, "But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I caused my name to dwell at the first, and see what I did to it, for the wickedness of my people Israel." Jeremiah 7 and verse 12. The destruction of Jerusalem was compared to the destruction of Shiloh in Jeremiah 26:6 through 9. The Israelites never forgot the destruction of Shiloh. God sent such warnings for the good of his people. God swore that the iniquity of Eli's house should not be expiated with sacrifice nor offering forever. When the people sinned through error and such, the priest could make atonement for all the congregation, and they shall be forgiven. But for the soul that sinneth presumptuously and with a high hand, there was no forgiveness. The sins of Eli's sons were willful, premeditated, and presumptuous. Presumptuous sin is the greatest sin against God. The psalmist prayed God to keep him from presumptuous sins in Psalm 19 and verse 13. But Jehovah was with Samuel. On the next morning, Samuel arose, opened the doors of the house of Jehovah, and continued his work, and feared to show Eli the vision. But when interviewed by Eli, he told him all that God had said. Eli was submissive and said, "It is Jehovah. Let him do what he seemeth good." And so Samuel grew, and Jehovah was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. That is, he established him as a prophet. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of Jehovah. And God continued to reveal himself through Samuel in Shiloh. And as I turn the page in the Sunday school book, we come to the next lesson written for the Sunday schools of December the 19th of 1926. And this is about Samuel the judge. And we're going to focus now on the lesson text of 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 through 12. And then we'll read 1 Samuel 7:15. And here's what we read. "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto Jehovah with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your hearts unto Jehovah, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away the Balaam and the Ashtaroth, and served Jehovah only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah. I will pray for you unto Jehovah. And they gathered together into Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before Jehovah, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against Jehovah. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. The children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto Jehovah our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a whole burnt offering unto Jehovah. And Samuel cried unto Jehovah for Israel. And Jehovah answered him. And Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But Jehovah thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomforted them. And they were smitten down before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 3. Direct your hearts unto Jehovah, and serve him only. You know, if we would remember that little text and do that with our hearts and decide to serve Jehovah only, how much better things would be. God knows how to direct things by his providence, and he'll take care of us until we reach him about his throne.